lay on the Lord for his help. Desire your attention to the first epistle, Peter chapter 2 and the 7th verse. The first epistle of Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Three places in this first seven verses is the word precious. And they are in the right places. First of all, in verse 4, speaking of Christ as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And there in the 6th verse as well, looking back to the prophecy of Isaiah in the 28th chapter, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And in our own text, it comes much closer. First of all, he is precious as he is the Son of God. Precious as he is as the living stone, the foundation stone of the church, the cornerstone as he is called. But then he is precious in this, that the Lord gave him a people to save. And in that work he is precious. Then in our text it is unto you. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. You might say, too, it would be true to say, it isn't was, it isn't will be, it is the word is. And is, as we might view it, and I'm not trying to be grammatical any more than the word of God is for the present and the constant present. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. What a mercy, my friends, if the grace of God has made him so, because nothing else will. It speaks again of two people in these words, two people that shall inhabit this world from Adam's day till the last moment of time, a people who will disallow him, a people who will indeed shall be a disobedient people, a stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and of a rock of offence. But blessed be God, there is a people whom shall have this view of Christ, that he is to them precious. And the word, of course, doesn't need any explanation, but I would rather try to express this. Precious is something of high value. Dear friends, that's not sufficient when you speak of Christ. When you speak of Christ, he is above value. Price can't be put on, my friends. You can take the most valuable gem in this world that's been dug up and polished and set in clasps and worn by the rich and the powerful. My friends, there's a value to that. If you want to buy something like that, well, you have to find the value. And if you've got the means, then you can find it and buy it. But this is beyond value. This blessed person cannot be contrasted to anything that this world shall produce, that we might consider valuable, because there's not a figure, not a price, not an expression, my friends, not a desire that shall ever meet or even explain the preciousness of Jesus Christ. And yet he is so to believe us. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he's precious. Relationships are precious, because where there is love, that relationship is precious. There are relationships that haven't got love, and those relationships are not precious. Not in that sense. But where there is love, there is a preciousness. And whether it's husband and wife, or parents or children, or what it may be, my friends, where there is love, how much more is those sinners called by grace brought in to see and feel the need of Jesus Christ? How precious is he? How precious is he? Well, we've sung how precious he is, because all other relationships will cease, and all loving relationships, precious in their time and way, shall but cease one day. There will be a time when death will divide those relationships. There'll never be a time when Christ shall be divided from his church. The preciousness of the relationship between the people and God and the Saviour is a union that death itself can't divide. And it shall be both for time and for out, and never end in eternity. If he's precious now, he will ever be precious. Whether you live, whether you die, if he's precious now, he ever will be precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But let us also say this, that let not Satan use the word of God to hinder the comfort of this preciousness. Let him not now, at this time, or at any time, whisper into your soul, but it says, believe us. The Lord help us to look at this word and open it up, as he will enable us to do so, and to see not that it is a word that shall express only to those who have put on Christ by an open profession. If that is the case, he is so precious, because he is the object of their love. And an object of love is precious, but far more so Christ to his people. But rather, the Lord help us, the Holy Spirit instruct us, and the Lord so bless his word to us, that we might see, therefore, what it is to believe that is indeed makes Christ precious. Unto you, therefore, this is the personal word of God to his people. It was written, as you may obviously know, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is to that people who are in the covenant of grace. And there is, of course, a negative comfort. We've tried very briefly, the word is better than I am. It tells of a people to whom he is not precious. But the Holy Spirit shall record in your heart and mine, if we are so led and taught, something of the preciousness of this blessed person. That he shall be first, Christ be first, and Christ be last, and Christ be all and in all. He should be precious in this, that because he is precious, he therefore should be the first in our affection. Unto you, therefore, which believe. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to say something which I don't know anyone else has ever said in my hearing, concerning this part of the text, unto you therefore which believe. What was it? you who feel to be sinners now, what is it that you first believed? What was it that you were called to believe, brought into by grace, faith given you to believe, something that you didn't believe before, something that's been shown to you, you've been made aware of, and it is something that dwells within you, and that's the sin of old nature. This is to whom? This is the people whom this is written to. It's not written to these holy, and so, as far as man could see, upright. This is not written to these Pharisees who walk about parading the religion. This is not those who would on their own good works stand. This is written to sinners. And one of the first acts of divine faith, my friends, is to believe one is a sinner. And you are brought this by revelation. You are brought to feel this condition of sin within. These are the believers which are to find Christ is precious. This is the company of people who find that the preciousness of Christ suits their condition and case and situation and circumstance. Because, my friends, you and I shall never see a preciousness of Christ until our eyes are open and our hearts are softened, and we are made aware by reason of the blessed teaching of the Spirit what it is about Christ that makes him precious. Well, we said he's the cornerstone of the church. He's the living stone and lively stones which our believers are built upon him, and they rest upon him. And as the building grows, so the cornerstone is more important. And every believer is built on that living stone, that cornerstone. But let us look at these believers. That is, those who believe that they are sinners. Not because I tell you you are, and I tell myself I am often, but because the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has revealed it, shown you the corruption of your old nature, shown you that you've got a will that only is bent to sin, shown you that by birth and practice you've done nothing less nor more than sin. But then what has the change been? And who brought the change about? Who made you aware of this plague within? Who made you sorrow over sin? Who brought you to mourn over sin? My friends, the same blessed Spirit that revealed to you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ the way of salvation, and seeing the way of salvation in all that he did and all that he does, my friends, will make him precious in this, that he is beyond price, that he is essential to the comfort of your soul, and he is the assurance that you need as you go on towards the end of your journey. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. This is not written to those who are self-righteous in any degree. This is not written to those who, once delivered from sin, never more sin. This is not spoken to those who live a contented religious spiritual life. This is spoken to sinners who by divine grace fall under the sense of sin within and mourn over it. This is written to the prodigal. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. This is written to those like the good man Job, when he said, and now mine eye seeth thee, I would repent in dust and ashes. This is written to those like the writer of this epistle, who so self-confident in himself that he was able to keep himself, he thought, until he fell so grievously before the Lord Jesus Christ in the judgment hall. And the dear Lord Jesus Christ said to him at that occasion after his resurrection lovest thou me more than these? And he said, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. My friends, how precious is the Lord Jesus Christ then in that incident to Peter. Not the rebuke, not because of the denying, therefore he is not one of us, not shunning his company, not turning his back on him, not leaving him to the sorrows and griefs of, and the darkness of his spirit, nothing like that. This is mercy, my friends, and this is what will show a sinner in need of mercy. There's a preciousness in the person of Christ. I do desire, my friends, to honour him this day. Oh, but it will be poor in comparison to what he deserves. It will be so limited to what he should have. But he is precious to a sinner. And he's constantly precious. Do hear the word of truth and experience here, my friends, that once he's made precious to a sinner, he ever will be precious to a sinner. Once under the sense of grief and sorrow over sin, you can see where salvation is found, which in the view of it will make him precious. My friends, in every moment of life, in every sorrow and every grief and every pain concerning the sin within, that preciousness will be revealed as the way of deliverance and the way of mercy. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. I used to have a pastor at Hanover, and he'd say this: if he was here, he's precious in the want of it. Oh, he is. Oh, he is, my friends. You don't live with his company all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't live in his company, or at least I mean in his felt company. You don't constantly hear his voice speaking peace and pardon to the soul. Sometimes you're left to walk in the pathway of the tempter and the tribulation of the way, indwelling sin, the slips and falls that you make. Oh, my friends, once the Lord shows you a preciousness in Christ, whatever pathway that you are brought into, that preciousness will be revealed to you as the way of recovery and as the way of deliverance. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. As I said, it isn't was, and it's not will be, it's is. It's the present time, and that present time can be read 10 years' time if the world still remains. And it is still true that he is precious. But all sinners will seek him because they want him. Sinners will seek him because they desire him. Sinners will seek him because they need him. My friends, do you need him? As the very person, you know, we're going to look, as the Lord will help us, at those things this day that make him precious. But in the very person of the Saviour, the very person of the Son of God, my friends, you must know his absence to know his presence, of course. But you must know his absence to know his preciousness too. But to see him, as it were, by the eyes of faith, as the Saviour of the lost, and to desire him and all that he has done, my friends, which all he has done makes him so precious to a sinner. And let me say what I often do say: it's only those who know the depth of the fall and are brought to see the sufficiency and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for them, my friends, will be brought to see beyond all doubt and beyond all calculations what it is that he is precious. Because you'll never explain this preciousness. You'll never exhaust this preciousness. This gospel's been preached, I was going to say, 2,000 years. And in those 2,000 years, this blessed person of Christ has been exalted, but he's never been exhausted. And those same blessed subject, my friends, will be the comfort and consolation of your soul till you come to die, and much more precious then, and into the glories of heaven you will know more of his preciousness. Well, he's precious then in his own person, that he was sent into the world to save sinners, who in his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree. If the blessed Spirit spoke that to your soul today, my friends, you wouldn't tell me, you couldn't tell me how precious he then is. Because if he brings you to see that your sins, which are many, are all forgiven, and all forgiven because he bore them away, and that when he was crucified, you believe that all your life, that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, and then perhaps as you went on through life, it was wicked men crucified him, and you said what wicked men they were, but then the blessed Spirit showed you who those wicked men were, my friends, and there is the cause of his death. There is the cause of his suffering. It lies in the heart of the people of God, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Well, if he shows you that, my friends, without a doubt, my friends, he'd be more precious, more precious. Well, he's precious then in his person. When he came into the world, he entered into the world, took upon himself a body like our own, was born of a woman, though she was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost, that which was conceived in her womb was the Son of God. That he left the realms of bliss, laid aside that glory that he was with the Father, entered into this sinful world, walked 33 years opposed persecuted, spoken evil about, maliciously used, taken by wicked hands, crucified. My friends, the person of Christ in himself, who would you, my friends, have in your company? These that are no more than those who have disallowed him, set him at naught. Go and talk to the world. I don't really advise you to, because, my friends, they won't understand a word you're talking about. But you talk to a worldly person and say to them, what's the most precious thing that you possess? I don't know if I said this to you, but when I was at an anniversary on the bank holiday Monday, I spoke to my dear old friend, the aged deacon at Manningford, and he's very infirm, but he said, oh, but for a hope beyond the grave. My friends, that's precious. A hope beyond the grave. And where did that hope rest? You know, when you hope for something, it rests on something. There's a confidence of that hope. And that hope rests on something. It rests on Christ. Well, these that believe, he is precious unto you. Therefore, which believe. You know what's so precious of Christ? That coming sinners have never been turned away. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad, and found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. My friends, this is what's so precious of Christ, is the company that he kept when he was here. I forever would tell you to keep your company amongst the people of God. Oh, don't walk with the world. Don't get involved too close with the world, my friends. You'll mourn over it afterwards. Not as near as the world as some get, but as it were, keeping them at a distance, doing what you've got to do. But the company of this precious one, this glorious person, oh, how precious is his company. You know, my friends, and you may not realize it as much as you would love to realize it, how it is that the Lord's promises to be with his people. You know, that's the company of the child of God. You love the company of the people of God. But there are nothing to be compared with the company of the Savior. You know, when he walks with his people and talks with them, when they felt his presence, not only in his house, but in their tribulations, in their afflictions, when they're laid aside from even going to the sanctuary by reason of their weakness of body, my friends, that the Lord's presence in his house, in their house or in their home, at their bedside, but in the world, when you're going about the world, how precious is his presence, because it is a keeping presence. It will preserve you, it will keep your soul alive. It will keep you from the intent of the enemy too. It will preserve you and protect you. It will be at your right hand to hold you up. It will be able to speak a word in season to your soul. And what words, my friends, he speaks. Precious words from a precious Saviour. Heed again what is written of the woman at in the Pharisee's house. My friends, how precious was Christ to her. Oh, she came behind him. Such was her unworthiness. Such was her humility. Such was her sorrow. Such was her grief. But oh, words that he spoke were precious too. Not only was his presence precious, my friends, but what he said was precious. And that is what a sinner longs to hear, that will make him so precious to them. Oh, that you might and I might enter into what Paul said. Only the very words, not what he said, because it confirms other things. But the apostle said in that time when he was troubled with a thorn in the flesh. And now wonderful words, you know, don't lose sight of the beginning of the text. And he said unto me, my friends, and when he does, he says precious things. Oh, he does, he speaks them into the soul. And what precious effect that has. You know, I might tell you that I believe your sins are pardoned, and you go away from here with no feeling at all concerning that statement. But if the Lord Jesus Christ sent you home at dinner time, with that sweet word of promise that your sins, which are many, are all forgiven, my friends, they would be very precious words, wouldn't they? They would be very precious words because they fell from the lips of the Saviour. You find these people who rub shoulders with the good and the great, and it's surprising how many things they can remember they've said to them. You know, if you find somebody who's come into contact with somebody who's got a name and a place in this world, and they've had a conversation before, they remember all that he said. You know, they it doesn't matter what they say, they'll remember all what he said, and they'll hold fast to that, and they use it as a lever of conversation. But my friends, a sinner will never forget the precious things that the Lord Jesus Christ has said. Oh, you think of those dear souls that, I was going to say, crept up to him, ventured upon him when they brought their afflictions. You think of the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years she had this dreadful affliction that was going to kill her. She was going to die, my friends, of anemia. That was the condition she was in. When she heard of Jesus, it drew her unto this blessed one. And then came venturing faith, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And this she did by faith, and she was restored. But then the words of Jesus, daughter, go in peace. These are the blessed words, my friends, that put a preciousness in the hearts of the people of God towards the Saviour of sinners. When he speaks, and I don't say that in a doubtful when, as he speaks then, and what he says, suitable words to your soul, words with power, words with authority, but blessed words, my friends, which bring comfort where there's sorrow and light where there's darkness. And to you, therefore, which believe, it is precious. Now, in the previous chapter, the apostle writes this: for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now, who can be able to describe the preciousness of his blood? This life-giving blood, this peace-speaking blood, this pardoning blood. My friends, you know about it. You've read about it. It's preached about in your hearing. But then, my friends, it speaks of redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and Peter calls it precious. Well, I believe too, my friends, just aside for a moment, the Apostle Peter knew not more of the preciousness than other disciples and apostles and preachers of the gospel, but because he came to experience it in contrast to his fall and in contrast to his sin. The unchangeable nature of this blessed person will indeed so bless your soul with a sense of his preciousness. Well, it is precious blood. Precious blood. It surely is invaluable blood, the poet calls it. And why, my friends? Because it's beyond all value. Oh, perhaps as a sinner says, well, indeed it surely must be if my sins are put away. And yet, you know, and the Lord keep me very reverent at this moment. My friends, it is the quality of that blood. It's the quality of that blood. What do you mean, you say? My friends, the very drop of it would wash your sins away. The very drop of it would. It's the validity of that blood. It's the power of that blood. It's the cleansing effect of that blood. My friends, it is holy blood. It's not an instant of sin. My friends, it is because it's his blood. It is because it's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, if you will be taught that ruined condition and you will learn to live with that, the knowledge of it over and over again, you'll have it taught you, you've had it revealed to you, you'll have it made known to you, you'll feel it, you'll sorrow over it, you would seek the grace to repent of it. My friends, right through your life, but it will make that precious blood precious to you, and to you, therefore, which believe is precious. My friends, this is the blood of the Saviour. This is God's beloved Son that shed sinless, holy blood that sin might be put away. This is the remedy. This is the blessed remedy, my friends, which will put away iniquity in your heart. And that which is acceptable to God is in this precious blood. Oh, remember that lovely word to sinners, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is what this blood can do, my friends, which nothing else can do. And oh, my soul, with wonder view, for sins to come, there's pardon too, unto you therefore which believe. He is precious, and everything about him is, and everything that comes from him is precious, and every work that he's done is precious, every word that he's spoken is precious to a sinner. Well, my friends, who can speak of that precious blood? I tell you, you can, those who have been pardoned. But then those who need it will speak of it. Those who will need it, they will read that word in Exodus where it says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. My friends, and I say, may that be on my house. This old tabernacle, may that blood be shed upon that, may it be applied to that. that my sins be forgiven. And to you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Amen. God willing, on Wednesday, we hold our Thanksgiving services. When Mr. Wood is expected to preach, services commence at 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, Mr. Brian Izzard as expected. On Saturday, the 30th of September, we hold a church meeting. That should commence at 3 o'clock. We close in hymn 138. Jesus, I love thy charming name, 'tis music in my ear. Fain would I sound it loud, out so loud that earth and heaven might hear. Yes, thou art precious to my soul, my transport and my trust. Jewels to thee are gaudy toys, and gold is sordid dust. Hymn 138. It is sinners and they alone who shall see some preciousness in Christ, whether in the want of him or in the possession of him or in those things which he has done and will do. And oh, as that hymn writer said, Lord, in his name, a name which is above every name. Lord, how that is such a comfort and cheer to thy people, the precious name of Christ. Lord, do bless us with this blessing, we pray. Leave none to go, Lord, into life and all its journeys and all its days or years, that thou wilt not put this preciousness in their hearts. And now, Lord, take us to our homes in peace and abide with us. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us both now and forever. Amen.